we live in a world that's so broken, and yet we're on this miracle chase to try to cure cancer or cure something, which is nothing to be cured, but bringing us back to the creation mandate of trying to actually just heal God's design to begin with. God's design is not junk. And when we start to realign it, our body can detoxify some of these things. Our body can process through some of these things. True health isn't from just doing something, it's owning something. What are the top three things that we can do right now that can make a simple change?
You're listening to the Visibly Fit podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hello, friend. Welcome to the Visibly Fit podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. Good to have you here. You know, today we're going to have a great show. I've got an incredible guest who is not only a leading expert in functional medicine, but he's also a passionate advocate for integrating faith and health. His name is Dr. Dusty Hess, and he is a nationally recognized functional medicine doctor. He is an author, a speaker, and he is the visionary founder of Upstream Health, which is a transformative movement that helps Christian families reclaim their health by returning to God's original design. And I love that. He's all about the Christian family, not just the individual, but the family as a whole. So that's super cool. But through his innovative leadership and resources, including the Upstream Plus membership and Upstream magazine, Dr. Dusty is raising a new standard of care that's rooted in faith, family, and functional medicine. He's known for his ability to simplify complex science, and Dr. Dusty delivers practical gospel-centered insights that inspire families to break free from chronic disease and build a legacy of health and faith. He's a sought-after speaker at health summits, medical conferences, and church wellness events, where his message serves as a wake-up call, a paradigm shift, if you will, and a call to just get some change, get some transformation going. That's what he's all about. He's all about transformation. And so I'm excited to talk with him. So we're going to dive in today to an important conversation, and it's why are good people still sick? That's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to explore the missing stewardship conversation in the church and uncover really how faith communities can better support health and wellness protocols and just ideas and getting into a new way of thinking. So I'm super excited to have Dr. Dusty with us. Enjoy this show. Well, welcome Dr. Dusty to the Visibly Fit podcast. It's a delight to have you.
Oh, it's a delight to be here, Wendy. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this is great. I'm so excited because we have a lot to talk about. And before the show, we were just kind of chit-chatting. And gosh, this podcast could be a couple hours long. I'm not quite sure because we have a lot of just synergies and how we think, but also just you have a lot to share. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I wanted to just jump right in on is I want people to know who Dr. Dusty is and where you have gained this passion and desire to help families, not just individuals, but Christian families to get their health back.
Yeah. So I started off as a chiropractor, and main goal is to get Christian families healthy from the inside out, right? And so I started to kind of study the body, study the ecology and biology and God's design for physiology. And I noticed after a while of practice that there's just a lot of people that were dealing with a lot of environmental behavior and lifestyle patterns that were keeping them from alignment. And so I decided to go back to school. I decided to go back to school for functional medicine and spent several years doing that. And after several certifications later, I started up a business called upstreamhealth.com and noticed that the environment around functional medicine was so overpriced for Christian families to be able to access. I wanted to create a platform that allowed for them to be able to have access that's focused on family care and allowing them to get the testing necessary to be able to see the disconnection between our environment and God's biology and the genes that he created for us, and the proper leadership to be able to walk that out to actually get healthy from the inside out. So that was kind of my journey in healthcare, and always trying to get to that point where we can get Christian families healthy from the inside out, keep pastors in the pulpit longer, keep missionaries in the field longer, and just keep people serving at the church longer.
Yeah, amen. I love that. Mm-hmm. Do you have a personal story, like with your family, as far as, you know, why you maybe saw this as a sense of urgency to go this direction?
I think the vast majority of people have a similar story. I had a family member get cancer. And at that point, you know, they were adjusted their whole life. They watched a lot of different environmental behavior lifestyle things, but they really fell into fear, really fell into what do we do now, and didn't really know where to go, and really didn't have the leadership. And so obviously at that point, you think about all these years worth of schooling and you still kind of feel hopeless. And so it was those kind of situations. And now a portion of the year we live in a part of the country where one in two people get cancer. And it's just overwhelming, Wendy. You know, mm-hmm. we live in a world that's so broken, and yet we're on this miracle chase to try to cure cancer or cure something, which is nothing to be cured, but bringing us back to the creation mandate of trying to actually just heal God's design to begin with. But we're just chasing symptoms of an already broken world that we've created for ourselves. And it's just sad. So hopefully we can bring some transparency today and some hope instead of a little bit of discouragement. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? But that's honest and that's raw and real and reality. And so we need to hear the hard stuff too, right? In order to say, yeah, wake up. You know, this isn't how God had intended for us to be living. But what have we done to kind of put the fuel on the fire, so to speak, that has made it really... you know, flame up even higher. And so a lot of that is our own doings, right? And how we are choosing to live, whether it's the foods that we're eating, the thoughts we're thinking, the lack of movement that we're doing, you know, that kind of thing. So let's just talk, I guess let's go first of all with something that I saw on your Instagram not too long ago, because everyone wants to slap a label on, oh, that's so me. I've got that. Oh, yep, I've got that. Or, you know, there's different symptom type of Instagram reels that are out there that are trying to push an agenda on you, basically. Let's talk about one of those, and that would be ADHD.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this one.
Because I know you're passionate about this one.
Yeah. Well, oh, absolutely. I mean, here's the thing. When I was younger, I grew up in the 80s. So I was diagnosed with ADHD. I mean, so many young boys in the 80s and 90s were diagnosed with ADHD. And so it just continues on and on. And this is a topic that I unpack that usually takes me a couple hours to unpack. But I think that there's a huge misnomer. I think that we have to understand that when you come into, I'm going to try to kind of bring this into a very confined way of looking at it. So it's super simple for people to understand, but hopefully we can get the 30,000 foot view instead of just seeing something as ADHD for ADHD. Mm-hmm. So Wendy, when we have something that we start to act a little bit differently than other people, or like a behavioral or some kind of a struggle, or we have trouble focusing, and we go into the doctor. The doctor in the conventional system is really trained with a certain curriculum, just like any other type of doctor, any other type of profession. They're going to have a curriculum in their schooling to get them to a position to be able to serve people. And so they're serving people to diagnose and to prescribe. And through that process, when they are testing to figure out what the diagnosis is, it's very easy to come to the conclusion of ADHD. It's very easy to come to the ability to say, hey, this person has, you know, attention issues. They're checking off all the boxes. They're ADHD. At that point, what happens next?
Well, they prescribe usually medication.
usually the prescribed medication. Now, you might get some fringe out there where they might talk about nutrition. They might talk about movement, you know, the simple like, you know, exercise and diet kind of things. But ultimately, the vast majority of them will put them on a medication. That point right now in this modern era, I think a lot of people are asking, well, I don't want the medication. Like, I want to know why I'm dealing with this. And there's two parts. There's multiple parts to ADHD. But when we're looking at it from a perspective of, let's say, something that happened in the womb or maybe some neurological inflammation or some other kind of things that might cause some damage is one thing. But what are the things that we can control as well? And then how do we be able to figure out what are the things that we can't control and what are the things that we can? And maybe there's some pathways of genetics in the environment that might turn those genes on and off that might actually create that to be even worse. And so, you know, a lot of people say the devil's in the details, Wendy. I would say that God's in the details. And when we see God's design and we see his beautiful creation, and we get enough information and detail, we can be able to help realign it. And ADHD is no different than anything else out there, except for the fact that it can be a mix between neurological inflammation and overall damage to the brain in some situations, and a coupling of chronic diseases of environmental behavior, lifestyle patterns that can also affect focus. And then we have this mismatch of all of these different symptoms that a lot of times we don't know what is drawing the overall ADHD or the overall symptoms, if it's just a mismatch within their nutrition. Maybe it's a mixed match that they're not getting enough sleep or their circadian rhythm's off, or maybe it's hormone distribution, or maybe there's a myriad of different things going on and it's hard to be able to figure out what the root causes are when we first medicate or first supplement without coming back to the alignment and trying to realign that and do the work.
Yeah. You know, for someone listening that might say, yeah, you know, I was diagnosed with ADHD and they're already on meds. I just want to tell you, it's not too late to get, retested and to get blood work and to find another path. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah.
But I will say that, what are your thoughts around how, do you think that most people just want to take that quick pill and just call it a day, or are they willing to do the work? Because it does take work. I mean, it takes layer by layer of unraveling and understanding and just kind of seeing what your body needs. And, you know, like you said, is there mold toxicity? Is there gut issues? Is it a sleep issue? Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things that need to be unraveled. And so are people really willing to do the work, I think? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I would say with the proper leadership, people are willing to do the work. I would also say that there's a lot of, like, people feel overwhelmed because there's so much disconnection from God's original design. Like, we don't even know what an apple is anymore, Wendy, right? Like, is it a real apple? Is it genetically modified? Like, we have no idea. And we think about our air. What have we done to our air? What have we done to our water? What have we done to our food? We can't even call it food anymore. What have we done to our animals? What have we done to our clothes? What have we done to control the temperature in our rooms and the lighting and the synthetic creation of, we don't even know if it's light or dark outside.
Think of how many, the microplastics, and they say what? It's like two credit cards or a plastic spoon amount of plastics that we have in our brain.
On average.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah. And when you think about that too, the overwhelm, people start getting analysis paralysis. And so that's why the leadership is so important, because if you see the broad scope of the disconnect, you're just like, well, everything in moderation. And that's failure right there.
Right.
But if you have leadership of really being able to see what are the top three things that we can do right now that can make a simple change, and then you minimize it to some simple steps. And then you get the 30,000 foot view to understand that God's design is not junk. And when we start to realign it, our body can detoxify some of these things. Our body can process through some of these things. Our body, and when we start to honor it with an environment around it that supports it, then we can start to choose different things. So instead of saying like, oh, I'm going to throw out all my clothes tomorrow, understanding that we can look at the things that are a one touch, like the things that we do the most, like maybe our bedding, you know, maybe certain clothes that we're running around in that creates heat and friction that might release some more of those plastics. So leadership takes some of those kind of situations that can seem overwhelming and seeing the kind of symptoms and things that people might be going through and saying, hey, let's start here with some of these and just understanding how what used to be convenient or more productive or this out of the other actually created dissonance within God's design. But we can start to kind of pull out from this hierarchy to start working from the top down to see better reconnection.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. And, you know, I always share with my patients that we should see health and fitness and all of that as an act of worship to our Creator. And and you really talk about health as stewardship. And so let's talk on that level, because when we start to think of our health and taking care of ourselves in a different way, that it's not just because I want to look good. I mean, that's nice and all, that's the after effect, but it's because we want to give praise and glory to where it's due to our Creator. Let's talk a little bit about your take on the stewardship part of health and what that looks like.
Yeah, this can be a sensitive piece, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like how many of us go to church on Sunday morning and the pastor comes out talking about dieting? Like, that's just not a good idea. Like, how do we how do we handle this in a responsible way? That's not legalism. Right.
Yeah. Amen to that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And because obviously that's not healthy. We don't want to go that direction. But
right.
I think now more than ever before, we've dramatically come 100 years into a situation. We have to realize that what we've done to God's creation has caused damage to His creation. Mm-hmm. And we're not just talking about, like, I'm definitely not making this political, because this is where another line where it kind of makes it really hard for pastors to have just a normal conversation about the realities of realigning God's design and honoring His creation is like the Green New Deal or some crazy political agenda that's like wrapped up in different things. It doesn't have to be anything like that. What we can see is that what we've done that's affected God's creation from that creation mandate. If we look back in Genesis and we're looking at to make this place more suitable for His presence.
Yeah.
Right? To make it suitable for presence, to bear image bearers.
Yeah.
Right? We think about the Great Commission and living that out, but we need the energy and the stamina and the integrity to be able to do that. And if we don't have good stewardship, we can't live out the Great Commission. If we don't have good stewardship, we cannot bear image bearers. We are infertile. The trajectory is infertility. How many people listening to this right now have friends that are having trouble getting pregnant or had just had a miscarriage or are dealing with dysregulation?
Yeah.
Right? This is not legalism. What it is it's calling the elephant in the room and saying, we are here to see God's creation and make it suitable for His presence, in which we are trying to realign His original design. And when we see the air being tainted, the water being tainted, the food being transformed into fake food that isn't nourishing to our cells, we see our metabolism and metabolic health plummeting. We see the transgenerational health of our Christian communities faltering with infertility, and we can't bear image bearers. And much less when we are bearing, they're less healthy than the previous generation. When are we going to start talking about it? Not out of fear, but out of understanding that we know the original design. You know what I always say, Wendy, in this? When I was going through radiology, when we were studying x-rays, we would study over and over and over again what right looked like. And then when we would go through an x-ray, we would look through the different quadrants, and everybody would have their own little way of doing it, but you'd go through it. And then if you saw something off from right, you'd like, oh, and you'd come back to that and you'd be like, okay, what's going on here? Maybe it's just a relic. Maybe it's something else, but maybe it's something more serious and we need to unpack that a little bit more. What we need to do is understand that the original template is written in everything. We came from the dust of the earth. We came from afar, which meant the dust. It meant the or in Latin, humus, which is the topsoil. Like, we came from the earth. We can study the earth. We can study the agronomy. We can study the ecology, the biology, and the physiology. And we have the template. We have the original design. What we have to do is see how it's been manipulated. And the devil can't create anything new.
Right.
He just takes what exists and he slowly changes it by 1 degree.
Yeah.
And so over time, we have so much dissonance. But what we can do is come back to the original design and see how it's been tainted and realign it.
Right, right. I mean, we are created in his image. And, you know, I think sometimes we forget that. And also that we have the mind of Christ. We have the authority. Like, there's all of that spiritual side of things as well, as we're talking literal and physical. You know, there's so much we can tap into here, but yeah, we do have the template. We do have the design. So it's, I mean, not the design, it's God designed us, but you know what I mean? We know. And so it's like, let's get things back to a pure state, right?
Yeah.
It's like, let's get things back to a sacred space, holy, so that, I mean, honestly, it's like, this is the temple that houses the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we are polluting this temple, the Holy Spirit's not going to want to reside there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I just think if people could really see this in the bigger picture of what that means and really experience that, they would change their choices. And you know, it's not about being perfection. It's not a perfect, you know, none of us are perfect. And it's not, like you said, being religious about it. It's about understanding and having the heart behind it and doing what God would want us to do, really.
Yeah, just doing what's right.
Yeah,
For sure.
Yeah. So right now with your patients, what are most people coming to you with wanting support on or wanting to uncover? I mean, I know you have the whole gamut, but what kind of is kind of that main stream of people that's coming your way?
Yeah. So, our company, upstreamhealth.com, we serve people all around the world. So we call them members, because we're all across state lines. We deal with different people from all different walks of life, from pastor families, to missionaries, to just Christian families that are wrestling with different things. Homeschoolers. I was just talking at a homeschool convention this past weekend.
Awesome.
You know, and all different walks of life. So we attract people that are dealing with kids with autism, kids dealing with, attention deficit disorders and things that they're just kind of like labeled with all of these things, but it's kind of wrapped up with a mismatch of a lot of different things. And so if we can just focus on the things that we can control and get the good leadership with it, it's not that we're trying to replace acute care or trying to replace their PCP, but what we're doing is coming alongside their PCP and really helping them do the work that is the part of healthcare that's really lost. And it's the hand-holding and giving the proper leadership of seeing the disconnection of what might be causing the disruptions within God's design. And so just to really clarify where we fit in the healthcare sphere, we also deal with, a lot of cardiovascular disease and getting in front of chronic diseases like, heart disease and getting in front of, perimenopause and menopause and hormone disruptions. Helping with digestion and absorption and mineral balancing. We help with oxidative stress and metabolic health. There people come from all different, we definitely don't promote people that come to us for cancer at all. Like, that's not something that but what we do is we help people get healthy. So a lot of times people, when they get diagnosed with cancer, they go through whatever treatment they're looking for and they pair with us to help with the environmental behavior, lifestyle support, getting consistent testing and lab testing, comprehensive testing.
And so are you walking them through not just the testing, but the protocol and the coaching as well to make sure that they're, you know, staying accountable because we're all human and we need a little hand holding at times, right?
Yeah, the vast majority of people want to be told what to do, right?
Yeah, right. Just tell me what I need to know. Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, we're whispering in their ear, like, you got this, you know, like you are an image bearer. You are your biggest health advocate is what we're whispering. And so a lot of empowerment. True health isn't from just doing something, it's owning something.
Yeah.
So if we can't get them to own their habits and why, figure out the why behind it, the sustainability in the relationship's not going to be there. Look, other doctors like me, they charge $5,000-$10,000 for a 4-6 month program, and that's not building a relationship. Health in chronic disease is a relationship. You want long term. You want enough time to be able to get to the point where you're in. We have family programs, not individual programs. Why?
Which I love that. I love that so much.
We want to change the transgenerational health of the Christian community. We can't do that when we're just focusing on one person. You have to focus. Here's the hierarchy that we see, Wendy. And correct me if you think I'm wrong, but number one, spiritual health is the number one health. Like that is, everything comes off of that. Like if that's anybody's read, Atomic Habits, it's, you know, your beliefs create blah, 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 blah. But through that process is our beliefs are rooted in our faith.
Yes.
So 100%. Everything that flows from that, our beliefs will create what we prioritize, right? Yeah. And what we prioritize is going to determine what we put our time into and what we're going to take action on. And that's going to ultimately determine what our habits are going to be over time. And so if we stabilize our spiritual health and we spend time in the Word, we spend time with the Lord, and we do that in a way that we prioritize where our foundational morals, values, and ethics are. And then we enter into our family. That's the next pillar of what I would say health would be, is looking at how is your relationship with your wife? How is your relationship with your husband? How's your marriage? How is your relationship with God in the mix of that? And where does that trickle down into your family? Are you a happy family? Are you frustrated? Are you living in fear? Are you living in uncomfortable? What does that look like? What's your network? And you create that stability there. And then what you can do is you can step in with stabilizing and prioritizing your disciplines for your health and disciplines for your finance. And so that's where there's no difference between our spiritual disciplines, our family disciplines, and our health disciplines, much less our financial disciplines. But there needs to be a hierarchical order to that. And a lot of times people start at the opposite direction. What stings the most? Sometimes that's finances. Sometimes that's individual health. Mom needs this treatment or something, you know?
And people tend to compartmentalize when you can't. It's a holistic, I mean, it's the whole kit and caboodle, you know, you can't
really
just do one and it's not going, you know, it's going to interfere with the other compartment. So you've got to focus on the whole person. And so I love that you guys do that as well.
Yeah.
We do that also because you're right. It's the spiritual, that's the foundation of it
Absolutely.
All. And if you're not walking that out, you're not really going to be fully transformed and change.
Yeah.
So, my question to you is, you know, why do you believe that many good Christian, you know, faith-driven individuals, why do you think that they're struggling with chronic illness? I mean, they love the Lord, you know? I mean, why do you think they're struggling? And what role do you think the church plays in this?
That is a powerful question. I think to piggyback off of what I was just talking about earlier is, poor leadership, poor understanding and poor knowledge and education of God's design. I think we can do a better job of that. When we have the priorities of knowing where to start and what to prioritize over spiritual disciplines, our family disciplines, our health disciplines, our financial disciplines, we can be able to come back to a model that we can see the bigger picture and what this side of eternity and next side of eternity holds for us.
Yes.
We pair all of our members with health coaches, functional nutritionists, and a doctor of functional medicine. And so it's leadership is so important, but understanding your roles. And understanding where we even fit in partnering with chiropractors or partnering with acupuncturists or PTs or NPs or homeopaths or DOs or MDs or whatever it might be. It's like we're all a team to be able to serve. Like how can we be able to serve together instead of demonizing we define? So if we can be able to give them better leadership and education, we can be able to have a brighter future. And this is where so many people, they are led to believe that if they feel fine, they're fine. Mm. But what we need to realize is that there's a lot of people out there that feel fine, but they're not fine.
Yeah.
And so
they're kind of irresponsibly going through life, not knowing their baseline.
Not knowing they're irresponsible. And that's the thing is I'd say irresponsibility comes from knowing what you should be, but you're not doing that, you know? So I would say that it's just, they don't realize that it's not good stewardship. They're just trying to do what they think is right instead of getting the leadership that allows for them to know what they're doing is right. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. you know, why is so many people that feel like they're healthy are actually coming out with a lot of chronic diseases right now is because they don't have the proper leadership with the proper testing and comprehensive testing and understanding what their physiology from the inside out is saying, but they're leaning on, I eat organic food, I eat grass-fed, grass-finished beef, I own my own farm and I have my own produce, I'm doing all the right things, I exercise, I do all these things, but what they're not realizing is you can do a lot of that, you can take your, you know, supplements and do everything that you feel is making you feel good and making and should be correct. But ultimately, we have to realize in this modern era that we are so separated from God's original design that we have to know what our physiology is saying, not what our feelings are saying. Right. And if we can do that, we can then get away from when somebody gets a chronic disease and they're doing everything right. This person was super healthy. They did everything right, but they got cancer.
Or athletes that are falling over and yeah.
Absolutely. We can get away from that because at that point, then we feel, you know, we don't have to sit back and I feel like there's so much we can do, yet we're waiting for something to happen. Right. And then we're reacting.
So to have that baseline is real important. So if you think you feel good and you're walking around like, you don't have anything to worry about. You may be right, but you may not be. So it's always good to get tested and make sure you've got the blood work in place that points you mm-hmm. in the right direction in case it could just be a little minor thing off that could ultimately lead you down a path where it ends up being something bigger in the end and you could catch it early, right?
Sometimes it's as simple as just raising their protein level.
Yeah,
sometimes they don't even realize they're anemic.
Right.
Sometimes they don't realize that they're on the brink of a heart attack, but they have zero symptoms. These things can be tested for. We can be able to find these things. And that's not necessarily, you know, before it was like super expensive, but we're trying to make this super affordable. And if we're looking at it as healthcare, we have a different perspective. Now we're looking at it from a stewardship position. We're not making anything more than it needs to be. It's just get the data, get the right leadership, know what to do and like help come into a normal living this side of eternity. And so you don't get distracted by your health and you can focus on impacting this side of eternity with God's plan for you and not feel like you're living in fear based off of all the things that could be happening.
Right. And so many people are just dragging their feet and they're living in a sluggish kind of state, you know, and they're not mm-hmm. able to really fulfill the calling and purpose that God's called them to because they just don't have the energy to do it. So it could just be this energy levels need to be fixed. And there's a reason for that. And there's multiple reasons for that probably, but you got to get tested in order to find out. You just don't, you know, start slamming down caffeine and doing things to give you a kick because that's not the answer.
That's not good stewardship, right?
No, it's not. But some people would fight me on that one for sure.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, it would definitely increase their focus and their attention and their energy.
Yeah,
but it's
for
not
that
doing
moment.
It in an honorable way.
That's right. That's right. Well, what are some common misconceptions about health that you tend to encounter in church communities?
Yeah, I feel really, my heart goes out to people in this scenario right now, because I really do feel, coming back to your earlier question, that there's a lot of people that are really interested in stewarding their health, but they don't know who to go to. They don't and it's just hard to get a non-biased perspective in this modern world because there's so many different businesses that are trying to sell you something, you know?
Because it's about the money, yeah.
Well, it's about the money, but, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. When we go to the hospital, that's a multi-million dollar facility. Mm-hmm. And those diagnostic machines are millions of dollars, you know? And so like, and in an acute situation, the overhead and like, we got to pay people and this, that. And so it's, but the same thing for the chiropractor, the same thing for the naturopath. Like when we have a brick and mortar office and they've got families to feed, they've got a business to run. And if anybody's ran a business, you know what a business model is and like what you have to do to be able to create something that's going to be sustainable and that's going to, you know, survive. It's one thing to be able to serve people, but if your doors are closed, you can't serve none. And that's where it's so important to understand that we do live in a free market enterprise, you know, environment where entrepreneurship is difficult, but it's got opportunity, but it has to come into a framework to be able to market yourself, sell yourself, this, that, and the other. But, and so that makes it very confusing for people to be able to figure out, if I walk into this building, are they going to see what's best for me and send me to another place? Or are they going to tell me that what they offer is going to help me no matter what? And that's where I think that why a lot of people are looking for like Christian businesses is because, well, at least we share our ethics and our morals and we can be able to align with each other with that.
Right.
But still, we do have to, in the health community, come back to God's design, understand that, and be able to know where our lanes are to be able to help steward health. And that's something that we can't mess with. We can't pretend health is something that it's not. It's, health is simple. Ecology, biology, physiology. That's pretty straightforward.
Right.
So in the Christian community, what I'm seeing is that people are frustrated because they've gone somewhere to some benefit and then they got to go somewhere else to some benefit. You see this with any topic like ADHD too. You go do some neurological reconditioning or some cognitive work, or you do some decreasing inflammation or some dietary changes, or you're working on your gut health, or you're doing some parasite cleanse, or you're doing some, you're removing all plastics from your home. Like, people are so overwhelmed and they're told all of these different things. When in reality, we're not wrapping around these people to really sit down, listen to their story, figure out what's best for them and send them there.
That's right. That's right. And it can be very frustrating and then they quit altogether. They're like, you know what, why even bother? And so that's where we don't want people. We want people in a place of having hope and knowing that their future is great and that God wants them healthy, healed, and whole. And so to go to a place like, you know, whether it's through Upstream or through Visibly Fit or through some place where they are connecting with someone who gets them and sees the whole person, then I think they're going to have a better experience. And so that's what you're all about. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about you. And I, again, I love that you are going after the whole family, because ultimately, that's one thing that I notice, like with my ladies, because I tend to mainly work with women, but they go home and, or, you know, they implement what I give them and they're like, yeah, but my husband's not on board. And so we have to kind of work through that whole process. And it ultimately, you know, it works out, but it's harder, I will say, you know, so the fact that you're bringing in the whole family, I just love that approach. I think it's fantastic. And they all need to be on board. You can't make somebody, right?
Right.
So how do you, how does that work whenever families are reaching out?
That right there, I think with husbands especially, we got to kind of empathetically put ourselves in their shoes. And I think anybody in healthcare, I hope and pray, Wendy, that there's thousands of us out there that can serve the Christian community, because we need it.
We do.
Big time.
We need to rise up in this time.
It's not looking good. And when we don't have leadership that people look up to and glean talking about health, then it's not changing. And what we're doing is we're just seeing the problems and we're praying over the problems without acknowledging the role we play in it. And so when we see husbands that are trying to provide for their families, they work hard. They have to break through uncomfortability to rise to the occasion and get what needs to be done, done, and fix the problems that are in front of them to serve their families and serve their communities. When they have aches and pains, what are they going to do? Stop and complain about it? No, they're going to rise to the occasion, press through it, and move on. But they need something to see and fix. If we can give them testing to be able to, and I'm not saying testing is the answer to everything here, just saying that in this modern world, we can leverage the technology we have to be able to understand whether or not God's creation is in alignment or if it's out of alignment. That takes a lot of ambiguity out of it. So if a husband sees that his insulin's high, his blood sugar's all over the place, and he's got different hormone distribution issues, and a lot of it, he's very inflamed, and he has a lot of oxidative stress, and his lipid profile is all over the place, and he's got a lot of different problems, it's like, hey, we need to start to have a plan to get you in order so that your kids have you in your later years to be able to be there for your grandkids.
Right.
And you don't, it doesn't need to distract you from the world that you live in and all the responsibilities you have. You need good leadership, but you need to know what is going on in a specific way so that this, and then they're, tell me what to do. And then they know what to do. And then they're usually really compliant. But it's the ambiguity of like, hey, you need a parasite cleanse. And they're like, why?
Yeah, don't tell me what I need.
You know,
it's the guy's going to be like, no.
It's, and that's like one of the other things that just really pushes husbands to the brink is like not really trusting is like things like that doesn't make sense, you know?
Right.
You know, it's like things like parasite cleanses in and of themselves, we have to be able to understand that we live in a world of viruses, bacteria, and parasites.
Right.
You know, the healthy terrain is a natural resistant to invasion. So we have to create an environment that's not conducive to that. That's a normal God-created environment. And so it's so many people are asking the wrong questions there, and they're selling supplements and they're selling different things when they're being more interventionist in a holistic world instead of holistic to the overall idea of parasites to begin with. That's where husbands get really frustrated with different kind of alternatives or different kind of holistic practices, because it's not necessarily enough data for them to know that what they're doing is actually making a difference.
Right, right. And a lot of women are the data collectors. They are the ones that need the data, you know? So it's not always just the men. But I do believe that the data's got to be there. It's got to be, you know, concrete and not just, you know, oh, I'm sure you've got parasites. Take a, you've got to do a cleanse and get them started on something. You have to do the testing. And so I think when you can get them on board and like you said, understand their why even test to begin with? Well, because you feel like this, and this, and for the longer haul of your life, you know, you want to be around, like you said, for your grandkids, your kids, and all of that. And so you don't want to be in pain and living a life in that way. So, you know, getting them to paint that, you just kind of paint that picture a little bit more. So, So were you just at a homeschool? You said you were just at a conference speaking. What was your topic when you were speaking to them?
Yeah. So I did a topic on the cultural war on health was one. And then I also highlight ADHD actually on this last one. From frustration to focus.
But that was good.
Yeah.
There's just so many different diagnoses out there that are just bogus in the sense of it's just a label. And so I love that you are attacking it with testing and that kind of thing. What is something that you are really passionate about in this season? I mean, I know we talked about ADHD and that kind of thing, but you personally as a dad and with your own family, like what are you really passionate about? Maybe it's over and beyond upstream health. What is kind of on your heart right now that you want to unpack?
Yeah, no, I mean, what I'm really passionate about right now, obviously I'm passionate about being a husband. I'm passionate about being a dad and being there for my children and being a role model and including them and challenging them.
And do you homeschool?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
We
how many kids? Three?
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
Four. Oh my goodness. That's awesome.
We travel all over the place. We're from Southern California, the Midwest, and Northern Europe, and we're kind of jumping back and forth between those and then all around the nation. So we homeschool.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. But even if I think that we were stationary, we would definitely homeschool as well. But I really feel God's calling me to create opportunity for families to be able to get a gray area of healthcare taken care of, help get Christian families healthy from the inside out. being able to serve those who serve, serving pastors so that they can stay behind the pulpit longer. I really want to serve missionaries so that they can stay in the field longer. I want to serve families that serve and at the church so that they can. The number one reason why people are falling out from service in the church is because they're sick. Because they don't feel good. They don't have the energy. And you see pastors going into sabbatical on a regular basis. The church is falling apart. And the children's program falling apart because they can't have kids.
I volunteer at our church. And actually, I go from the two-year-old room to the fourth and fifth grader room and all over the place because people are calling in sick.
Yeah.
So your point is made.
Yeah. So that I'm really passionate about trying to create something that is affordable, that is non-biased, that works with multiple different facets of healthcare, that it's not independent, but it's collaborative, that is very user-friendly, family-based, transgenerational health-led, and to change the trajectory of where the Christian community is going now, making it known within the church of the topics that we can talk about, that we doesn't have to be legalism within health, but can be brought up in a way that we can see what we've done to God's creation and weep.
Yeah, that's good, Dusty.
And bring it and work hard to bring it back into alignment.
Yeah,
and work together to do that. That it doesn't have to be somebody's mission, but it can spark a fire. A Southern California fire, if we will, that's going to spread, you know, I want a big one. I want a big one. And I want it to go far and wide. And I want it to be loud and far enough where people see the reality of the situation and they see the disconnect. And it's not this hocus pocus bogus stuff that's trying to sell a whole mess of supplements to try to fix or put a Band-Aid on something to keep the doors open. But it's looking at the soil, looking at the agronomy, the ecology, looking at the biology and looking at our air, our water, his creation, and just realigning that so that our cells can start to get nourished again so that we can actually start putting real food in our bodies.
Come
so we can
on.
Rebuild our relationships and we can rebuild.
This is what I'm talking about.
This is the passion. This is what gets me ramped up.
I hear it.
That's just alignment.
Yes.
That's nothing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's nothing more than that. It's not selling a product. It's just reminding people what's already there and showing them the disconnection. And that should get anybody passionate.
That's so good. That's what I wanted to hit on. Like, what are you passionate about? And we just heard it right there because it is. It's like, let's wake up the church. Let's open their eyes and get them to weep, right? Mm. And get them to repent, turn away. Mm. Turn away from what we were all doing before that wasn't serving this temple that houses the Holy Spirit and serving our Creator. Mm-hmm. And so I'm with you. Like, I am so passionate about it as well. And I believe that our time is now for the church to rise up and to be in a different place mentally, physically, mm-hmm. spiritually, emotionally, all of it, so mm-hmm. that we can really make a difference in this world. Because honestly, as we all are watching things unfold, now is the time. So it's so good. I love that you have that passion in you. Well, with our final time here in a final message, do you have something that you want to convey to our listeners that who might be struggling with their health and they just are looking for some hope?
Yeah. You know, I would say, you know, find good leadership, cut through all of what the world is saying, read the word and find the biblical truths.
Right there.
From there, build your family on those and then steward your relationships, steward your mind. Know what is of this world and what is not.
Yeah.
Understand what you're putting in your pantries in your home, what environment you're creating for your family, and whether that's scriptures on the walls or other things that are speaking to your family. And the same thing with the food that's in your pantry. There's no difference between your spiritual disciplines, your family disciplines, your health disciplines, and your financial disciplines. Train them young. Be intentional with everything. And when it comes to relationships in the family, it's always quantity over quality. And if you're looking for leadership, whether you find somebody like Wendy, whether you find somebody like me in upstreamhealth.com, whatever it is, you find somebody that shares your values, that isn't about longevity and keeping you as long as possible this side of eternity, but then just giving you the information necessary to know how to steward your health well and serve and love others. So if we can come to those premises and you're looking for help, seek it, you will find it. And just praying that truth will be revealed and that we can be a part of this process to be voices and to be teachers and to be listeners along the way. And if there's anything that in that process, we should have people asking questions and creating more conversations like these so that we can get deeper into the modern mismatch within God's design and within the Christian community to have a healthier, happier future. Because I truly believe that the healthiest, most impactful, healthiest people this side of eternity are going to be Christian families. But we have to come to that aha moment of what God's original design is and how we realign to that and how we steward that.
Yeah. Well, amen. It's time. I appreciate you so much, Dr. Dusty. And thank you for coming on the Visibly Fit podcast. And again, those of you that are listening, go to upstreamhealth.com to find out more. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Bye now.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypett.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.